What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to the next episode of the Big Orange Buzz podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Fletcher. I appreciate you guys tuning in. It's kind of getting to an exciting part where we're going to take a little bit of a transition. We'll talk about football news and, you know, any off-season stuff, rumors swirling, things like that. And we'll stay up to date and, you know, keep in the loop. But we're really going to be shifting it to pretty heavily in basketball, especially in the middle of conference play now. Tennessee wrapped up a home game opener in conference play with a win over Ole Miss, and they just beat them down. And in that second half had a very strong performance. So that was excellent to see. But of course, you know, they'll be playing typically two games a week, a weekday game, and typically a game on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, somewhere in there. We'll have, you know, a game to recap on one episode and then a game to go over. So we'll be looking at recapping some of what went down in that win over Ole Miss. We'll talk about the next game going into Mississippi State. So playing back-to-back, playing both of the Mississippi schools. And, it's an interesting time because, this is the nitty-gritty now. This is where basketball season gets serious. Your wins are going to all count, and you need to get wins now just, you know, for a better seeding in the postseason. And it's always nice to have be a regular season champion. You always get remembered for something like that. Go out into the SEC tournament and have a good showing. Stuff like that, you know, maybe as players you don't get a, you know, crazy ring. Maybe you don't get, you know, it's not like winning a national championship, but just having good runs and stuff like this, this is something that sticks with us as fans. So it's going to be really exciting as we move into the conference slate. I am very, very much looking forward to getting into that. But first, just a couple things with football before we get into all that. Nothing too crazy. I'm sure everybody knows. I don't think I really got a chance to talk about it because I think it broke. I only did one episode last week, and I think the news kind of broke after I'd already recorded. But Brew McCoy announced that he is coming back to Tennessee, so I'm sure everybody knows that. But, you know, to me, what does that mean for Tennessee? Number one, that means that they pulled away from Evan Stewart that they were going after from Texas A&M because you got a big, reliable receiver coming. And they probably feel that it's necessary, you know, with Brew coming back to probably use that money elsewhere, somewhere that maybe they need a little bit more help, potentially the offensive line. And that kind of goes into the next thing I'm going to talk about too. But, you know, it's always awesome when you have a guy like Brew McCoy coming back who's been in the system. He knows Heupel's scheme, and, you know, he's coming back, one, because it just made sense for him to come back, but, you know, you're insane if you think that it's a part of it is not that he's excited to play in that offense with Nico, because I guarantee you, it probably wouldn't be just a scratch-off, yes, I'm coming back, if they still had a guy like Joe Milton. Point blank, it wouldn't. And he'd probably still come back because, you know, the way he got injured, it sucks, it hurt, whatever. And he may not come back if he didn't get hurt at all. He may not. But, you know, it's an opportunity that a lot of people would love to have to play with a guy as talented as Nico. And you can see that in the team, you know, not just Brew, but guys like Cooper Mays coming back, John Campbell, you know. So it's going to be so important for Nico to perform well and get the guys rolling on offense. A transfer departure, we had Gerald Mincy declare that he is entering the transfer portal and leaving. So that, you know, all it really does is attack Tennessee's depth, but they're reloading with more depth, and they're also, you know, they're still looking at potentially adding an, you know, a tackle to come in from the portal and kind of bridge that gap to the next group of young guys that's coming in this cycle. I'm not going to say that you couldn't ever see a young guy play this year. I'm sure they could. You know, Bennett Warren, super talented. It just depends, you know, who's asked to play where and all that good stuff. And, you know, you're going to have some injuries. So some of those young guys are going to have to play some snaps regardless, whether it's just, you know, if it's relieving somebody that's been injured or if it's just, you know, kind of taking up some playing time because somebody's worn down in the fast-paced offense. It's, you know, it's bound to happen. So those guys have got to be ready. So not to undermine that, but I do think it's important for Tennessee to go after somebody in the portal. Today, I believe, the offensive tackle that they were trying to get from Kansas, I believe he committed elsewhere, so he's not going to be in the mix now. There was an offensive tackle from North Carolina State that Tennessee was pursuing a little bit, but I think one of the big ones that Tennessee wants is a offensive tackle from LSU. And, You know, he had a small visit at Tennessee over the weekend, so that's good. But he's also visiting elsewhere too, so we'll just have to see what happens with him. And he was a big five-star guy, so there's no guarantee when you have guys. You know, it's at the end of the day, Tennessee has not been that program in years past where they've been super successful. So it's going to take some time for them to really be able to sales pitch to guys. Like a place like Georgia can probably go out and get just about any talented dude that hits the portal that they want, you know, within reason. Not everybody's going to go there, but if it's a need at their position and somebody wants to go play for a team like that, I mean, you'd be kind of stupid not to, right? So when Tennessee is able to kind of get themselves back in that win column more consistently, it'll only improve in the years to come. But that's what we're looking at right now. And I don't think that the Gerald Mincy loss is that drastic because, you know, he's a guy that's battled injuries when he's been at Tennessee. He's had some issues on the field and off the field. And it's just kind of it's not necessarily a weight lifted off the shoulder. It still attacks your depth a little bit. But it's not something that's going to be super detrimental to the offensive line. But they do need to do something, I think, just to bolster it up. Maybe get someone that's got a little bit of experience in there. So we'll see what happens there. Rolling right into basketball, Tennessee played Ole Miss over the weekend. They got a huge win over them, beating them 90-64. It was a little bit closer at the half, but Tennessee really came out of the second half just firing on all cylinders. Everybody played a pretty solid game. Jonas Adu had a phenomenal game. He played 32 minutes, finished with 24 points, had 10 rebounds, and that's what you got to see from the big man. He needs to be in double-digit rebounds almost every game. And, you know, he definitely got the message. Dalton Connect only had 8 points. Again, I think he's kind of getting into rhythm. But when you got other guys that's able to score points like they were the last basketball game, you're not going to ask too much of Dalton Connect. And, you know, he only saw the floor 19 minutes. It wasn't his best game. It certainly wasn't horrible either, though. You know, he had some valuable minutes in there. So, liked what I saw there. Zakai Ziegler had 17 points, and I will say about him, I was a little bit rough on him, you know, to other people I was talking to, and he was missing like crazy in the first half, but he really turned it on in the second half, started hitting some more shots, started playing smarter, had better ball control, had 10 assists. And that's the thing with him is he's not selfish, so he's going to get some valuable minutes just because he's not a selfish player, and he just plays smart. So he had a good game. Started a little bit sluggish, but he gathered that around and turned that around real fast. Santiago Vescovi, 11 points, played 35 minutes. Not horrible. It's not what you really want to see from him. You want to see him be more consistent. But, you know, he's finally finding a little bit of a rhythm where he's able to score in double points multiple games in a row. You know, I expect him to really turn it up as we move more into conference play. So I'm not disappointed there either. Josiah Jordan James continues to give super valuable minutes. He missed on his threes. He was 0-for-3, but he had 8 rebounds, 8 points. He just had a lot of valuable minutes, and he's a guy that, as long as he's putting up, you know, some valuable minutes and being somewhat consistent, that's all you can really ask of a guy like that, because he was such a talent coming out of high school, and we're finally seeing that flourish. Tobey Awaka, he finally got it together a little bit more in the second half. Didn't play a ton, only played 11 minutes. I mean, that's what happens when you have Jonas Adu playing the way he did. But Awaka played, had 9 points. And he's just a big man. He's going to be physical. He can go up and get rebounds. Heck, he gets his own rebounds half the time. So he's a guy that I was impressed with his play. Jordan Gainey, again, just I'm not super impressed with Jordan Gainey. And I'm not trying to be super hard on him. But, man, he just leaves a lot to be desired. He misses a lot. Takes some radical shots sometimes, stuff that you don't want to see. And when he gets them wide open, he's usually good. But he missed some. Only made one field goal, made one three-pointer, and that was his points in 12 minutes played. He was pretty physical defensively, though. So, you know, he's definitely in on that Barnes philosophy, playing good defense. And speaking of playing good defense, Jemai Meshack coming off the bench. He's playing a lot more prominent role this year. He did play a prominent role last year, but he's very much stepped it up, and he's improved his game a lot. He shot 3 3-point attempts and made 2 of them. And that's something that you won't say a lot about him probably this year. But it would be cool to see a guy like him get some confidence and kind of heat up as we, you know, continue on throughout the season. Played 23 minutes, 4 of 8 on field goal attempts, and finished the game with 10 points. So overall pretty good. That gave Tennessee a 36.7 3-point percentage to finish the game, which is insane considering they missed just about everything they were shooting from the perimeter in the first half. They missed just about everything. Field goal percentage was 47.2%. Very solid. I was impressed with what I saw. It's kind of comical. I almost think that it's maybe it helps them. I don't know, but I can get real pessimistic at times, and you know, I'll be texting my dad or my buddy or something and just saying, you know, season's over. And sometimes it's just foolishness. I'm just trying to be funny. Other times I get pretty frustrated. And when I saw Jordan Ganey's play, like, I got frustrated. And I was frustrated with Ziegler at first before he started going off there later in the game. But, man, this team, they don't quit. They don't quit. And I don't know if it has anything to do with me being pessimistic, but it seems like any time that I down-talk them, they play better. And then anytime that I have my confidence through the roof and my confidence just doesn't waver, typically it goes downhill for them. Like when they play Purdue, I don't know. Maybe there's something to that. Maybe I need to, you know, just continue crap talking them while they're playing, while they're on TV. That probably wouldn't be good considering I'm planning on going to a couple of the games. I probably don't need to do that in person at least, but, you know, just kind of ironic. So, but I do need to try to be better about that because you got to have patience with this group. They're going to hit some offensive droughts, but they're going to play tough defense, and they're probably going to be the toughest defense that anybody plays in the SEC this year. I certainly believe that was probably what Chris Beard was thinking after coming out of there. Ole Miss really hadn't played anybody up till this point, and they were just kind of shell-shocked, you know, by Tennessee's toughness. And give Ole Miss credit, they're a pretty good basketball team. And, you know, despite Chris Beard being a shady person, he's a good basketball coach too. So they could, you know, they could always rally around and, you know, kind of get some things going. But it's, you know, it's crunch time for them. It's now or never, as is with Tennessee. And they're going into their first SEC conference road game and a little bit of a traveling trip. They're going to be going to Mississippi State on Wednesday. And then from there, they'll be going to Georgia this weekend. We'll talk about Georgia more on the next episode, but Mississippi State, again, it's another team. Ironic that it's a Mississippi State or a Mississippi team, you know, considering we just played another Mississippi team. But it's another team that has not really played a whole lot of competition. And you look at their 3 losses, they've lost to Georgia Tech, where they only scored 59 points. You're not going to beat Tennessee scoring 59 points. They lost to Southern, 60-59, Southern University. Wow. And then they lost to Mississippi State this past weekend. So, you know, not to undermine them, because they do have some talent. You know, Tulu Smith, excellent ball player. But this team is, it just doesn't frighten me. It's a lot like Ole Miss. Like, they've got some playmakers. They've probably not hit their stride yet, and they've probably not reached their full potential. And part of that has just come from not really playing a whole lot of tough teams early on. And they're going to have their growing pains. But there's just not a whole lot that scares me about this team. They've got 2 guys. Tulu Smith averaging 14.5 points per game. He is their highest points average per game. And then you've got Josh Hubbard averaging 14.4 points per game. This is the crazy thing, is that Tulu Smith's his field goal percentage is 81.8. So you talk about a guy that you don't want to foul, you know, as little as possible. Sometimes he's going to get open looks and he's going to make some of those shots, but you don't want to give him free points as much as possible. So that's one. Same deal with Hubbard. He's a little bit less accurate, but he's still over 40% field goal shooter. They got some other notable guys. Cameron Matthews, averaging 9.4 points per game. He's a 6'7 senior, averaging 6.6 rebounds per game and a 59.3 field goal percentage. So another pretty accurate shooter, getting a lot of rebounds, good amount of points. You got Jimmy Bell Jr., 6'10 senior, averaging 9.1 points per game, 8.6 rebounds, and a 50.6 field goal percentage. Those are some of the guys that, you know, you're going to have to look at the matchups. You know, Bell, he may be on Adu a lot of the night just because of the size. But that's where Adu, he's just got to continue to play physical, play strong. And I think he's built up enough confidence where he's finally playing more physical than what he was in some of the previous seasons. But I like the matchup. I really don't think there's a whole lot of a mismatch for Tennessee in this one. Look at the matchup predictor. ESPN has got Tennessee with a 60.5% chance to win, according to the Power Index. We'll look at their stats, their averages kind of lined up side by side. We're just going to go down the list. Tennessee, points per game, 78.7, to Mississippi State's 75.2. Tennessee, points against, 64.3, to Mississippi State's 63.1. Field goal percentage, Tennessee 43.8, Mississippi State 45.1. A lot of that coming off the back of Tulu Smith. So you limit him, that takes away a lot of that. Rebounds per game, Tennessee 39.7, Mississippi State 39.4. Assists per game, Tennessee 17.4, Mississippi State 15.2. Blocks per game, Tennessee 4.8, Mississippi State 3.9. Steals per game, Tennessee 7.6. Mississippi State, 8.8. So, and of course you got Tennessee on a seven-game win streak right now. Tennessee, they're a little bit hot right now, but I think that playing some of those tough teams early is going to benefit them in games like this, where you got a team that, you know, on the stat sheet, they look pretty similar. If you go down the stat sheet, you know, we got them in a few categories, but pretty close in most of them. It's going to benefit Tennessee playing teams like Purdue and Kansas early on, because Tennessee's pulling the same and in some categories better stats while playing a much tougher schedule. Tennessee is the only team in Division I basketball to be in the top five of the toughest, you know, conference, or not just conference, but just toughest schedule. You know, nobody is really playing a schedule like Tennessee is. You got some other teams that, you know, some smaller schools up there in the top five of Tennessee, but nobody, especially not in this conference, is playing like Tennessee is right now. And nobody plays defense like Tennessee. Nobody. You got, you know, some really tough teams out there, but I just don't think I've seen a team play as good and as sound defense as Tennessee. So the key is for them is just going to be to, you know, guard up Tulu Smith. Don't let him have his way. And play physical defense. You know, it's the same recipe as always. There's going to be some scoring deficiencies. You always know that you're kind of in for it a little bit. But that happens. You know, that's part of the game. That's what happens. So it's just that I don't think that they're bad necessarily. I just think they get out of sync sometimes. Sometimes when they make changes, guys come in and maybe they're just not ready. But, you know, Jordan Ganey, as much as I've ripped on him on here, you know, he's going to have some games where he's a guy that's got confidence. He's going to come in sometimes and be a spark plug coming off the bench, kind of like Zakai Ziegler was his freshman year, you know, whereas now he's having to play a very prominent starting role. You know, guys are going to be coming off the bench and playing lights out. You know, Mayshak's going to have some of those games. But the main thing is just anybody that comes in off the bench, and your starters especially, you got to play sound, fundamental defense. You can't give up too many easy shots. And you got to eliminate all the stupid fouls, especially on Tulu Smith. You put him on the free throw line, you're giving him 2 points, basically. So it's important for Tennessee just to play smart. You know, keep with the same brand, same recipe that they've been cooking with, and I think they're going to be fine. And, you know, I don't think there's any reason to worry in this game. You know, a lot of the meat of Tennessee's schedule is going to come in the middle of conference play. So this is one that's, you know, cruising there. Don't take it lightly. Don't underestimate them, because college basketball is weird. You just don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, it's one of those teams that's like, you don't want to sleep on them, because if you sleep on them, they could come up and get you. And Tennessee's done that in the past with a lot of people. So it's important to just make a statement on the road, especially before you go on the road again this weekend. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't know what the spread is right now on this game. I don't see it where I'm looking, but I would imagine Tennessee's going to be favored, probably minus, similar to Ole Miss game, probably close to minus 10. Not far from minus 10. It may be even more than minus 10. I don't know. You know, I may be a little bit biased in saying that, but I think Tennessee should be pretty highly favored in this matchup. I think it favors them well. So, yeah, I think as long as Tennessee's offense can, you know, be sufficient enough and you don't have any defensive collapse like you did at North Carolina, which I don't expect, I think Tennessee wins this one. I'm going to go Tennessee 84 to Mississippi State. Let's give them 71. 84-71. And so that would cover a 10-point spread. And I think the Vols win. And I think they put up some points and kind of make a statement on the road. I think, like I said, I think being battle-hardened early, playing some tough teams, I think they're ready for this game. They're ready for the environment. I don't think it's going to be too intimidating. It's not going to be too much for the guys, but it's going to be exciting nonetheless. I'm super pumped for this week, too, because I get the opportunity. I say I get the opportunity. It's almost the only good thing about it is going to see the guys play. The place that I'm going is literally like a melting pot of just horrible things. It's one of the worst places on the planet. It's Athens, Georgia. And I say all this, I've never been. I fully expect to get barked at. I mean, I would assume it's probably not going to be as bad as, you know, if I went down there for a football game, because, you know, obviously they're a one sport college. They truly are. They've got football and that's about it. They're all right, basketball, and they've just not really proved a whole lot to me yet. A lot of the tough games that they've really played in, they've lost. They've got a couple good wins, but, you know, they've got a lot to prove, I think, and they can prove that in conference play. But I picked this game because I can't stand Georgia. I can't stand their fans. I can't stand their team. It don't matter what it is. And I'm really hoping and praying that we go down there and just wear them out. And I'm hoping to be down there and just see all the disappointed fans. I want to see tears flowing. And I kind of hope I get barked at on the way in there, you know, because it's going to be funny coming out. And, you know, ask them, like, who's barking? Who are you barking at now? You know, did your owner get your leash? You know, why are you not barking now? So I'm looking forward to going down there for that game. It's going to be interesting. It's a pretty small and just almost like a high school basketball arena. It's embarrassing compared to Thompson Bowling. But everything cannot be as good as what Tennessee does. It just can't. So, yeah, like I said, super excited for this week. We're going to see what we do with Mississippi State first. Don't want to put, you know, one foot too far in front of the other. But looking forward to just this week and just moving into the rest of the games going forward. Baseball season is right around the corner, too. So be tuned in for that. You know, in February, we got starting up with the – I can't remember what the tournament is. It's a little tournament they're playing in Arlington. It's – I don't know if it's the Shriners Classic, maybe. They're playing some a couple Big 12 teams while they're down there. So it's going to be a good time. Get a chance to play in a really big stadium. That's cool for the players. So keep up to date with that. And as we get closer to the season, you know, we'll have some more announcements and some news and, you know, some projections for the baseball team and all that good stuff. But for right now, we're going to take it one day at a time, one game at a time with the basketball team, and just hope for the best going forward. So if you guys tune into this one, I really appreciate it. I hope you guys keep tuning in. It's going to be, a lot of craziness going on. College basketball is always crazy. You never want to get your hopes too far or too high up because it's such a defeating sport. So, so hard to win the whole thing. And, you know, it's in Major League professional baseball. You get to lose. You have to lose to a team four times to lose the World Series. Meanwhile, in college basketball, you can have one off night and lose the whole thing and get put out of the tournament. There's no series, you know, there's no playoffs like there is in the NBA. It's one loss, you're done. Even in the College World Series, you look at that sport, you know, you've got playoffs, you've got multiple games being played in the College World Series, you got more than one chance. So if you do happen to have off night, you can make up for it. So you really got to be on your game for multiple games. And I think that that tests the true, you know, strength and valor of a team. But college basketball, it's a little bit flawed, but it's very defeating. So don't get your hopes too far up. But it's looking pretty good for us right now. We will, you know, we'll see where we go from here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Like I said, if you want to, you can follow me on social media. You can interact with me, shoot me messages, whatever. On Instagram, it's at Big Orange Buzz. Twitter is at Big Orange Buzz _. Shoot me a message. Let me know, you know, what you think of the podcast. Just, you know, tell me about experiences going to games, you know, just projections, vent your frustrations, whatever you feel like doing. So we'll be back next time. We'll talk about the Georgia game. We'll kind of recap what happened in the Mississippi State game. Hopefully that'll be a win. But I will see you guys on the next time. Go Vols.